T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike DeTellier, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, the radio voice of the New Orleans Pelicans, Todd Graffanini. Graff, thanks so much for joining us, and give Bobby some hope. Man, he's in such despair here.
Graff, I'm watching the first half. I said, okay, it's tight. Looks like we're in control of the game. It's 52-46. What the hell happened in the third quarter? I'm like, what? I got discouraged, Graff.
Don't jump off the ledge, Bobby. We still got a long way to go in the season. Unfortunately, that's really been the pattern of this team during the six-game losing streak. They just get into these lulls, these ruts, and it winds up costing them games. And, I mean, you go back to the game on Sunday afternoon in Miami where the Pelicans, you could argue, had their most dominating defensive half of the entire season. And that second quarter, with literally 2 minutes to go in the quarter, the Miami Heat had 8 points in the quarter. And in the span of a minute and 25 seconds, the Pelicans turned the ball over 5 consecutive times. Miami got 3 layups, 2 layups, a dunk, and an end one, and went on a 10-0 run at the end of the half to cut a 16-point lead down to 6. And all of a sudden, Miami's back in the ball game, where they were nowhere near in the ball game the entire half of basketball. And you saw a little bit of that last night. The Pelicans had a 12-point lead late in the second quarter, and then all of a sudden got a little sloppy, got a little raggedy on the offensive end, and Minnesota cut the lead from 12-6. And that really started what we saw in that third quarter, which was, I mean, it was really, really rough. I mean, Minnesota made everything. Pelicans couldn't defend. Pelicans couldn't shoot. And Minnesota scored 29 points out of the gate, and the Pelicans only had 9. And, you know, and as always, the Pelicans, even though they're going to get down like that, they're going to come back. It's a very resilient team. But you can't keep getting to the fourth quarter and then start looking at things that happened earlier in the game, because those are the things that cost you. In ball games, you got to play 48 minutes. And right now the Pels, during this six-game streak, are playing, you know, 42 minutes or 36 minutes. That's not enough. You got to bring it the entire ball game. And that's unfortunately been the key. It's just been consistency, and we just haven't been consistent during this streak.
Now, Graff, I think this would irk Willie Green. And I like that he was trying to light a fire under the team. He was frustrated. His first ejection of his coaching career, I think it was midway through the fourth quarter when that occurred. But I think this would irk him that 18-4 they were outscored, that being the Pels, in the fast break points. And that cannot happen.
No, look, Bobby, I agree, but I will say this, and I mentioned this on the broadcast last night. The Pels are a very, very good team, forcing turnovers, getting steals, second in the league in steals at about 8.7 a game. And that's how we get a lot of our buckets, getting out in transition after those turnovers. I really had to tip my cap to Minnesota last night. They got back. Every team's got a scouting report.
Right.
And Minnesota had the scouting report down. If we make a turnover tonight, I'm talking about Minnesota, we've got to get back in transition. I thought they were outstanding last night because there were many opportunities to get out there, and they got back pretty much every time. And I saw that same stat you were talking about. Now, the 18 points for Minnesota, that has to do on the other end. That has to do with the Pelicans turning the ball over because they're able to get out in transition. But the fact that the Pelicans only scored four, well, you can credit Minnesota's defense for that because it was very evident. They talked about that before the game because they were pretty flawless in that department.
Kraft, when you look at it sort of long term, when trade deadline's coming up in February, you not being able to have a sort of a healthy team and top players out, it becomes tough on the evaluation. You'd like to have another wing that could shoot, certainly, but it sort of muddies the water a little bit, I guess the best way to put it, of kind of if you want to make a deal here, kind of where do you go because of the fact that, you know, we did see Brandon come back last night, and there's some rust anytime you take that period of time off.
Yeah, he's real rusty, yeah. 4 of 18. Yeah. That's a lot of rust.
And so that didn't surprise me. And then who knows, 2 weeks or maybe longer with Zion. You've had a lot of injuries here. To try to upgrade the team at that point, you don't know exactly what you have because you haven't seen them all on the court at the same time.
Well, Mike, you're exactly right. And that's the thing. I mean, I know people say, well, we got to, you know, trade this. Well, it's very difficult because, as you said, the team just has not been whole. And I think when you have seen the team, as, you know, the roster is constructed and everybody's on the court, they're very, very difficult to beat.
Yes.
And I think we're seeing right now, I mean, really right now, look, Ingram, you know, the shots are going to fall for him. The guy hadn't played in literally 2 months. I mean, it was 2 months to the day last night when he came back. So you're going to, you know, see some of that with his shot, but that's going to come. But you saw the impact immediately last night of having Brandon Ingram on the floor. The first possession of the ball game, Ingram went to the right elbow, two defenders collapsed on him, and he sees C.J. McCollum on the left wing, nobody within 15 feet of him, and McCollum knocked the three down. I mean, that's the first possession of the game, and it's like, all right, you know, that's what you're missing when you have a guy like Brandon Ingram who's not there. Not only can he shoot, obviously, he's 48% from three, but he can assist as well. He's having a career year assist-wise. But I think, again, to really, really break it down, guys, you are feeling the impact of not having Zion Williamson on the floor.
No question.
Injury came at literally the worst possible time, other than, of course, the end of the season, because we were getting into a stretch where you're playing all of these games with not much of a break, and you're playing some very, very difficult teams right now, tough teams to beat. And Zion was playing at an MVP level when he went down. I mean, he was taking games over. And, of course, Zion's another ball handler that you're missing. And you know, it's just the scope of what he can do. It really, really has been brought to the forefront during the streak. And, guys, look, the Pelicans, even during the losing streak, have been playing – very adequate defense, more than adequate. It's the offense that's suffering right now. This has been a top 10 team, top five team as far as scoring points, offensive efficiency, the entire season. In the stretch that we're in right now, the Pelicans have dropped to 14th in offensive efficiency and now number 10 in points scored. And we had a streak of 33 games in a row that we scored 100 or more points. And only one prior to that, when that streak started, we scored 98 in a loss at home in November to Portland. Prior to that, it was another 33 games going back to last season. So the offense has really, really been key. You're on a 60-game basically streak other than one game of scoring 100 or more points. In the six-game losing streak, we've hit 100 three times. We've been 100 less – I mean, half the time. So you're seeing right now, Bobby, the offense has really taken a step back because the defense, for the most part, has pretty much been there. And look, you know, when Ingram's not in the lineup, that's 23 points. When Zion Williams not in the lineup, that's 26 points. And people forget Najee Marshall, who missed those three games, the two in Florida, and then the one at the beginning of the week, you know, he was scoring 18 points as a starter. And he wasn't playing in those games, so you were effectively missing 60 points. in your lineup, and it's just been very, very difficult because guys are being put in roles that they're not really accustomed to, where guys who come off the bench,
the minutes they're playing,
right,
yeah,
the minutes, the points, everything, you are now counting on them to get to try to make up the points that the guys who are not in the lineup score, and it's just, you know, not their roles.
Well, Grav, all the basketball you've witnessed, I know this is like old school, new school, whatever. You got to be able to take care of your home court, and then, you know, kind of, I don't know, any sport almost. Can you be 500 on the road? But you got to take care of the home court. I'm like losing the first two games in a three-game homestand. I know that's not good. And then now, look at now, we sit only, what, a half a game ahead of the Clippers. They're fifth place in the West, and you look in the playing game, how close everybody is. That's amazing when you look at the Western Conference. But how important the game Saturday is the Wizards, and we're playing at home. I mean, I thought it was a must-win. I don't know, and it's not a must-win right now, but to beat the T-Wolves. I think, come on, Saturday, we got to show up, the crowd. We want to be in that number to beat a team like the Wizards come Saturday at home.
Yeah, actually, you know, beat the Wizards on that very long road trip a couple of weeks ago in Washington. Now, Washington's playing a lot better as of late, even though they're not going to have Kristaps Porzingis, and they traded Rui Hachimura away at the beginning of the week to the Lakers. But, no, it's extremely important, Bobby, because, like you said, you got to take care of your home court, and the Pelicans have been very, very good at home this year. No question about that. But just to further it, you know, after the game on Saturday night, you're going up to Milwaukee. It's a back-to-back Sunday night. And then we go to Denver, who we just played a couple days ago, and then finishing off the road trip in Dallas.
Well, yeah, that's brutal. Game. So that's why.
No, it's brutal. So, yeah. No, that makes that game at home on Saturday very important.
Todd, this is a little bit away from basketball, but I know you keep up with the NFL. Your thoughts this coming weekend, Eagles, 49ers, Joe Burrow and the Bengals, Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, you know me, Bobby and Mike, I'm not pulling for any NFC teams. I know they can't tie or both lose, but I guess if you're going for the best story, I can't even believe I'm saying this, but I wouldn't mind seeing San Francisco. I mean, I think my skin just crawled saying that. Just because of Brock Purdy, and the story. But, I mean, I don't know. I can't pull for Philadelphia or San Francisco. What do you want me to do? On the other side, I mean, you know, go Bengals.
Yeah, go Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, when the Saints season's over and we're not in the playoffs, man, I check out.
But the only thing, but I like the approach you're taking, Todd. How can you be against Brock Purdy if you're a laborer?
No, that's
if you're a common man, Mr. Irrelevant,
a male Cinderella story.
Well, how can you be against him? Come on.
I mean, look, Mr. Irrelevant, and now he's in the NFC Championship game. The guy wasn't even playing halfway through the season, and he hasn't lost a game. I mean, it's unbelievable. It really, really is. So. You know, just hope for a good game, hope it's entertaining, and then whoever wins in the NFC.
Yeah.
Graf, has there been a team in the NBA you've seen this year, you say, man, they're a hell of a lot better, or maybe it's Sacramento, that they're a hell of a lot better than I thought they would be?
Oh, no question. Sacramento's got to be the surprise of the season. I mean, what Mike Brown is doing there has been unbelievable. De'Aaron Fox, who is one of the best point guards in the league, who nobody knows about because he's been in Sacramento all these years. You know, he is playing at an elite level like he always does. You just don't realize it. But Sabonis is a double-double every single night. They really play hard for him. And I mean, that look, Sacramento hadn't been in the playoffs in 20 years. I mean, it's the longest streak in sports. Right now going on.
Well, you
got
to go to Vladi Dava. What was his name? The Serbian? Vladi Diva?
Exactly. Yeah, Chris Webber.
Yes.
And all those guys.
Right.
No, it's been that long since they've been in the playoffs. I mean, it's just having been there. And now, it's interesting because we have not played Sacramento yet. Yeah. We're actually going to play them when we come back on the next homestand. but it is an incredible basketball town. That place is filled every night, even though they've been horrible all these years. And I know they're pretty fired up there right now, and they have a legitimate chance, really, to avoid the play-in. I mean, that's right. The goal for most of these teams that, you know, haven't been top four each and every year. But right now they're in very, very good shape, and, looking forward to playing them, and hopefully we'll have much better chance as far as having guys at full strength when you're taking on a team like that. But they are definitely, in my mind, the surprise of the year.
Now, Graf, when you look at, obviously, we do this in every sport, whether it be football, basketball, whatever. Who's the coach of the year? You look at Doug Peterson. Look what he did with the Jaguars. How about Jacques Vaughn, what he's done, to bring stability with the Nets? I mean, you're dealing with Kyrie Irving. He thinks the freaking the Earth's flat. I mean, we all know he has that ability to be unbelievable. And then even look at I hope this doesn't they don't turn the corner, the Lakers, but then you look at a sixth man and who's involved with that conversation, Russell Westbrook. So just I threw a lot out there. I want you to comment on all that.
No, it's been a crazy year right now. I mean, and you talked about it, Bobby. There's a lot of teams really, really bunched up, and you think of what Mike Malone's doing right now in Denver. I mean, he's got to be a top choice as well.
Right.
We just saw Denver a couple days ago. Now it helps that you have the back-to-back reigning MVP in Nikola Jokic, but still, Denver's been kind of they've always been a playoff team, but they've just kind of muttered along. And then when the playoffs start, they kind of fade. So right now I would say Brown, from Sacramento, Mike Malone would be another candidate for Coach of the Year in my mind.
Graf, we always look for progress on a player from year one to year two, and we certainly Jose, you can't ask any more from him than what he's given you. But I'm a little bit surprised with maybe not as much progress coming from a Trey Murphy. Or Herb Jones.
Herb Jones, yeah. What about that?
Those two guys.
That,
because
Graf?
I thought you would see that sort of jump up the ladder, and it's erratic. Play for both of them.
Yeah, we go back to the consistency word. We have seen tremendous flashes this year from Trey Murphy.
Yeah.
There have been games when this is the progression that you're going to make from year one to year two. He's just been a little inconsistent as of late. And I think he's having a little, he's not a not confident guy. I mean, he's very, very confident, but there have been instances in games where he's passed up shots so much to the point that, Willie Green would mention post game, what do you say to Trey? Hey, keep shooting the ball. We need you. You got to keep shooting. You got to keep shooting because he is an elite scorer when he makes his shots. My favorite stat in basketball is 50-40-90, 50% field goal shooting, 40% three-point shooting, and 90% free throw shooting. It's very rare. Happens in the NBA. And Trey Murphy is right now sitting at 48, 40, and 93. He is very, very close to that 50-40-90 threshold. So he's got the capabilities. I just think it needs to be more consistent on a night-in, night-out basis. As far as Herb goes, it's just been a tough year for him because he's been hurt. He only missed three games last year. You knew he was going to be in the lineup every single night. That hasn't been the case this year. He's had just some tough injuries for him, so he's missed some games. And also, Bobby, I don't want to use the R word or the O word, but he has been officiated horrendously this year. He is being called for fouls that just are not fouls. And, he has gotten into foul trouble so many times this year. I mean, you go back the game when he came back against, I want to say it was Miami, his first game back in a week. He played 19 minutes and fouled out.
Almost impossible.
It really is. It really is. But, again, when you see some of the fouls that's being called on him, you just shake your head, and it's very, very frustrating because Herb is an elite defender. We have seen it now for a year and a half, and even though his offense is still trying to get on track this year, he is still defending when he's been on the floor and when he's been allowed to be on the floor when he's not in foul trouble. So it's going to come for Herb. He's just got to keep plugging away, and hopefully he'll get a break official-wise.
So, Graf, before we let you run, they said, hey, Baron Mike, ask Graf if the Pels players, as far as they do practice shooting free throws, but he's concerned maybe in close games that we're not going to be clutch shooting free throws. Where are we at? Enlighten me or the fans about as far as clutch free throws, or where are we at as far as free throw shooting throughout the game and compared to other teams?
Well, right now, Bobby, we're basically middle of the road. We're 17th in the league, so we're pretty much dead even, about 78%. That's not great, but it's not too bad. I mean, geez, my first couple of years, we were shooting in the 72-73 percentile, which is really not good at all. So free throw shooting has actually improved. And again, you've missed Brandon Ingram for 2 months. He's an 87% free throw shooter. Whoa. As I just mentioned, Trey Murphy is a 93% free throw shooter. C.J. McCollum has improved dramatically after last year. C.J. was upper 60s at the end of last year. He just had one of those seasons where it just wasn't going for him, but he's back in the mid-80s this year, so he's making his free throws. I always say free throw shooting, just watch that first one go in, man. When the first one of the ball game, if you watch it, if the first one goes in, you kind of feel good about it. If whoever it may be, if that first free throw is not good, I always cringe because it's like, you know, it's contagious. It really is contagious. One guy starts missing free throws, another guy starts missing free throws. If everybody, you know, a couple guys get on the line and they make them all, well, then everybody, you know, follows suit. I've always believed that for the most part.
Todd, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And also, you do a fantastic job. Bobby and I are huge fans of yours, and you make the game so much more exciting. Come on, you're not doing the Knicks games. You're doing Pelicans games. Well, and you do a great job at it.
Hey, Graf, do you ever have a bad day in life? It seems like even if you're having a bad day, you won't let yourself totally be down. I don't know. I like your passion.
Bobby, it's all about passion and entertainment, and of course, I've got a great product to call to the fans of the Pelicans wherever they may be. So, it's one of the best jobs you could ever have, Bobby. I mean, it's 1 of 30 in the NBA, so I love what I'm doing.
But Graf, do you ever look back and say, was it me? All of a sudden, Tulane, the magical season, they win the Cotton Bowl, beat USC. And all you're like, well, why didn't that happen when I was there?
Hey, Bobby, I'm saying this tongue in cheek, but somewhat not. It's, you know, as being a lifelong New Orleanian, a Tulane fan, and a Saints fan, as you know, I'm kind of a glass half empty guy.
Right.
And the day that Tulane won the Cotton Bowl was the night that Zion hurt his hamstring.
And it's been kind of
gone the other way ever since. So I just look at myself and say, you know what? It's impossible for me to have total sports bliss.
Graf, you would love this. We doing the Monday night Silver Slipper show, and I get there a little early to watch the end of Tulane USC. And people are all around the big screen TV to watch. They must have 100 or so people watching. Not a one of them are Tulane fans. Every one of them cheering for Tulane.
Yeah,
well, those were all LSU people, but they were cheering for Tulane. Listen, in my dad's world, that wouldn't have happened, but it happened that day.
Well, no, the new slogan, magical ride, roll damn wave. There ain't no roll damn roll tide, wave. Roll damn wave. Wave.
Thank you, Graf.
All right, guys, I would tell you another story, but I know we're out of time.
Thanks so much,
right,
Graf. Appreciate it, buddy. That was Todd Graffiniti, radio voice of the New Orleans Pelicans. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.